This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, as kids head back to school, what is being served in the cafeteria? We'll take a look at the food in Wisconsin schools, its impact on health and obesity, and we'll ask for your input, too.
First, after an announcement of support this morning from Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, President Obama now has the votes he needs to prevent Republicans from blocking a nuclear agreement with Iran. It's time for our weekly look at the latest in national politics.
Also this week, a new release of Hillary Clinton's emails from the State Department shows that she wrote and sent emails that are now considered classified through her private server. And a new poll shows that Bernie Sanders is close to within 7 points of Clinton in Iowa.
Also, as September gets underway, some analysts are speculating that gridlock could cause a government shutdown by the end of the month. Here with us now is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, President Obama got his 34th vote today with Senator Barbara Mikulski's announcement this morning. How big a win is this for the president?
It's obviously a huge win because he has been wanting the Senate to, you know, at least not veto the deal per se. And this guarantees that he will be able to veto any of their vetoes. That is, they needed at least, you know, 67 votes to be able to overturn any veto that Obama would have had if they had said, we don't want the deal. Clearly now that won't happen. So this is a big win, but it's not a shocking win. I mean, all along we knew that most of the Democrats were going to be along with Obama on this. And so this is merely, it was merely a formality in my mind based upon all the reporting that's been coming out. So it's a big win, but not a surprising one.
Was there ever a risk, maybe early on in the process, that it wouldn't have gone the president's way?
I mean, there's always a risk when you put things in front of the American public and then senators and members of the House hear what their constituents want. But Obama pretty much always had the numbers. A lot of things these days in Washington that wouldn't traditionally be partisan issues almost always are now. And given that Obama has more than, you know, 33 seats in the Senate, it was pretty much assured that he would get it, even though there were a few Democrats, such as Chuck Schumer from New York, who weren't going to go along with him. But almost all of the Democrats outside of New York and New Jersey were with him. And today, with Mikulski going along, it's yet another Democrat outside the New York City metropolitan region who went along with him.
So just because he's got these votes now does not mean that he's got support from everybody in Congress. Those that don't support, namely Republicans, does that discord with this agreement have anywhere to go, any expression?
Well, sure. I mean, you're going to get a majority in both houses of Congress that are going to vote against the president's deal. But the problem is that the way that had been set up was that you needed a filibuster, not a filibuster proof, you needed a veto-proof majority to be able to get, to be able to make sure that the president wouldn't be able to put this plan into action. And now you won't be able to get that because you have the 34 votes in the Senate, which is obviously more than two-thirds, more than a third of the senators who are in the United States Senate.
And in terms of finalizing this agreement and putting it into action, what happens next?
I mean, essentially, you've already seen this put in front of the UN, and then you'll get a whole bunch of, you know, you'll make the deal with Iran, and you'll just be able to just go forward. And once you sign the, you know, sign the T's and cross the T's and sign and dot the I's, you'll be able to see this plan put into action. But it won't be put into action for a few months, and then we really won't see results for over the next couple of years.
And do you see this being a talking point among Democrats and Republicans in the presidential race?
Sure. I mean, the Republicans, this is a big talking point among Republicans. It's uniformly against that this is going to be used as a perfect example of President Obama and his reckless foreign policy. And most Americans, at least depending on which polls you look at, but most of the polls indicate that most Americans, and especially most Republicans, are against this deal. So you're going to see Republicans try and one-up each other to be more against the president to try and prove that they are truly the anti-Obama.
And before we move on to the presidential race, Republican leadership in Congress looks like it's facing some challenges this month as government funding runs out by the end of September. What are the biggest debates?
Well, I mean, the biggest one right now is really Planned Parenthood, that, you know, what we're going to be able to see going forward is whether or not Republicans are going to face a lot of pressure from constituents, whether they should defund the government over Planned Parenthood. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, this is a Republican Congress which really hasn't been, let's say, that productive. We've seen Republican Congresses over the past few years where we see that they have major problems passing legislation because there are a lot of people who just don't necessarily want anything to get passed, that they don't care that nothing is passed. So I wouldn't put it past them to see that when we go through the end of Congress, that we might have a government shutdown. Chances are we won't, because most Republicans are not for a government shutdown, even when it comes to Planned Parenthood. But remember, the most conservative Republicans are against Planned Parenthood and very, very well force a government shutdown. But we'll see. Still a lot of time to go in this.
And Republicans are largely seen as responsible for the past government shutdown. Do you see that as a lingering pressure point as we go forward, that people do or don't care if that happens again?
Sure. I mean, most people have said in the polling that they would blame the Republican Congress if there is a government shutdown. And you don't want that, you know, that around your neck, especially going into a presidential contest. However, remember, we had the government shutdown, or the government shutdown in 2013, and then it didn't even matter. Republicans still were able to swamp in 2014. So I think, you know, it's one of those things where it might be a momentary political loss, and Republicans don't want that. But in terms of the larger picture, I wouldn't be too worried if I'm the Republican Party, because, you know, the media these days jumps from one story to the next, and who knows what they'll be talking about next week.
Right now we're talking to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the latest in national politics. Now we're going to move to the Hillary Clinton campaign, and the story of the summer for her has been the email story. It's not been Benghazi. It's been the email thing, which is, you know, it's September now and we're still talking about it. What is the latest there?
Well, I, you know, it feels like deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra would say. Every day there seems to be a new email story that comes out. But none of this is really going to, at least at this point, doesn't seem like it's going to be something that's going to derail her campaign, because most Democrats just don't, they see it as a partisan issue. And part of the reason is that there is no smoking gun. Yes, there were Clinton emails that were classified that she held on to, that were on her server, but these were emails that were classified after the fact, after she had sort of sent them. And more than that, they were all minimally classified. These weren't the most important documents that were classified. You know, these weren't these tremendous state secrets. So these are the types of things that Republicans are going to put their arms up about. The press, who's looking for a story, is going to put their arms up about. But it's not likely the type of story that's going to really derail her and keep her from winning the Democratic nomination.
On the other hand, I keep seeing headlines about how she's slipping in the polls. Could this be the sort of death by a thousand cuts sort of story?
Sure. I mean, it could be, especially if you keep getting it. But it's important to keep in mind, you know, for instance, the ABC Washington Post poll comes out today that has her favorable rating dropping to one of its lowest points in the past 15 years. But Jeb Bush and Donald Trump's favorable ratings were both lower than Hillary Clinton's favorable rating. So, you know, in this type of atmosphere in which Republicans and Democrats are finding it very hard to find approval from the American people, Clinton is still seen as one of the more favorable politicians in this country. So, yeah, it could eventually derail her, but at this point, we're not close to that point yet.
Now, it seems at this point, as we said, the prevailing story, the email practices, and that's eclipsed the previous negative story about her, the State Department Benghazi issue. Is that still alive as an issue for her, as a possible liability on the campaign trail?
I mean, you know, Republicans are going to try and bring it up, but most people just don't care about it, or at least most swing voters don't care about it, and most Democrats don't care about it. And, you know, we have to keep in mind, we're not yet in the general election. Clinton, her main goal at this point is to win the Democratic nomination. She wasn't able to do it last time in 2008, even though she was looking ahead to the general election. We all thought of it almost as an afterthought. But then now President Obama came up and surprised her. The most important thing for her is to win the Democratic nomination. And among Democratic voters, stuff like Benghazi just doesn't play. And so it's just not that big of a deal. Something that could be a big deal would be something like Joe Biden getting into the race. And then maybe if he brought it up and then it became a whole thing within the Democratic primary, it might be something. But at this point, it just isn't that important.
Okay, so it's time for our latest check of where Bernie Sanders is. I know you've been back and forth on this, saying, no, he's over, he's done peaking, and now it seems as though last week at least, or a couple of weeks ago, he was back up again. Where is he now?
Well, you know, one of the big stories from this week was the Des Moines Register poll came out that showed Clinton only up by 7 over Sanders in Iowa, and that was well down from her previous lead. And obviously the Des Moines Register poll, if you know something about polling, is thought of as this poll that's up in the sky that no one can touch. It's the poll that's predicted everything. And Ann Salzer is a great pollster who does the Des Moines Register poll. But even great pollsters have an outlier once in a while. Most of the polls from that state, including one that came out this morning from Loras College, has Clinton up by 20 or more points. She is still ahead there. She's still leading. She still has a far more comfortable lead than she has in New Hampshire, where two polls have showed Sanders ahead. And nationally, she's still well ahead, probably up by 20 points or more, depending on which poll you look at. So she's still the overwhelming favorite for the nomination, although you got to give Bernie Sanders credit for an old guy who's not actually technically a Democrat. He's doing fairly well in the Democratic primary.
Not so much with fundraising, though, you point out.
Right, not so much with fundraising. His poll numbers are fairly good, but Sanders has a number of problems that will likely keep him from winning the nomination. One, his fundraising is still well behind Clinton's. Depending on whether you include super PAC money or not, it's one-third to one-fourth of the money that Clinton's raised. Two, historically speaking, we look at which congressmen, governors, senators have endorsed the candidate, what percentage that you get of that. Bernie Sanders has gotten exactly zero senators, zero House members, zero governors to endorse his campaign, while Hillary Clinton has the lion's share. She has around 95% of all those who've endorsed, and she has over 50% of those who possibly could endorse in the campaign. That's, historically speaking, well above average. In fact, it's the strongest air position for a non-incumbent running for a presidential nomination in the modern era.
Now, our last topic today, CNN has changed its debate criteria, putting the emphasis on more recent polls. What is that going to change?
You might as well call it the Carly Fiorina rule. I mean, that is what it is, for lack of a better term. Carly Fiorina, who did very well in the Fox News debate, the secondary debate, the one that was on at 5 o'clock that had no audience and looked like the junior varsity debate, she's done very well in the polls since that point. The problem was that CNN was going to include a polling average, take the top 10 of polls going all the way back to the beginning, middle of July, and Fiorina did very poorly in those polls, and there were a lot more of those polls that were taken before the Fox News debate than afterward, so the average of those were going to keep her out of it. So now what CNN has agreed to do is they're going to take two separate averages, and basically if you lead or in the top 10 of the polling average after the Fox News debate, even if you're not in the top 10 of the average, including all the polls going back into July, you're still going to get invited. So Carly Fiorina is now going to get invited, which is what she wanted, what a number of Republicans wanted. But make no mistake, this rule was all about Carly Fiorina, and now she will be on the big stage. So there'll be 11 people, the 10 who were in the Fox News debate, plus Fiorina.
Harry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the latest in national politics. He joins us every week at this time.